Listening. Listen to the text and choose the answer which fits best according to what you hear. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 30 seconds to look through the task.
Good afternoon. There's been a lot of discussion recently about what lies in store in terms of the preservation of old buildings and monuments. Today we welcome to the studio two conservationists, Bob Smith and Carrie Westwood, who are both involved in looking after places like these. Bob, what do you think is the best way of going about the preservation of our heritage buildings so that they don't suffer unduly from the rising numbers of tourists visiting them?
Well, one of the ways is to build a visitor centre, and there are certainly quite a few of these in the pipeline at the moment. Architects seem to enjoy the challenge they represent. I suppose a good example of the kind of thing I'm talking about is the architectural design for the tourist centre for one of Britain's most prestigious ancient monuments, Stonehenge, which is a collection of very old prehistoric standing stones. As you can imagine, this particular development didn't have too many problems getting financial backing, and it seems to have been well received. But the debate over what exactly these visitor centres should offer people thunders on. And most people start to ask themselves, who is it for? How accessible should it be? Will it simply encourage even more visitors, and so on?
Carrie?
Indeed. Personally, I feel we should do something quite dramatic, like forget the whole thing and close the existing visitor facilities at this site and monuments like it, and remove references to anything famous on the site, like the standing stones. Then it will be more like a similar monument at Avebury, not far from Stonehenge. There's no huge visitor centre there. People can come and go as they wish. Parking's free, and there are no admission charges either. In other words, they've left the place alone for anyone who happens to come along to discover it for the first time, as it were.
Great plan, Carrie, but totally unrealistic. And Carrie knows that only too well. That's because the tourist industry is an invaluable revenue earner. So there's no way that's ever going to happen in places already inundated with tourists. With sites like these, everyone's well aware from very early on that some kind of money-spinning centre is on the cards. The point is that Stonehenge is one of those sites that just has to be visited, and there's no way you're going to get rid of tourists. Petra in Jordan is another similar site. The Rose Red City is one of the world's most alluring and magical tourist attractions.
It certainly is, and so, of course, is Stonehenge. But apart from being a must for travellers, there are so many other similarities between the two sites. One of the most significant, in my opinion, is that they could both be overwhelmed by visitors if we're not careful. There's a visitor centre at Petra too. The project's been quite controversial, but what they've tried to do, or so I'm told, is make it as unobtrusive as possible. Apparently, it doesn't dominate the entrance to Petra, and it leads the masses of visitors gently in and out of the site without damaging it, which can only be a good thing.
I agree that not allowing the visitors' facilities to take centre stage is important, but what appeals to me most about that particular centre is that it offers visitors not simply basic facilities, but a more in-depth look at an architectural site. If you ask me, too many tourists arrive at a place of interest, pay their sometimes exorbitant entrance fee, then make a dash for the main attractions. They often miss out on the carefully thought-out displays designed to give them an idea of why the place was built, what role it had in history, what kind of people lived there, that kind of thing.
Well, I do hope it succeeds in getting that message across to visitors. But from what I've read, the aim seems to be to maintain the aura of Petra as a lost city, a place to be discovered. I think Stonehenge should be treated like this as well. And all the people I've talked to certainly feel that sites like these should reveal their secrets slowly, so that you never know what's around the corner. If they achieve that in Petra, despite all the publicity, and ensure that the numerous tourists don't damage it, it'll be a resounding success.
Absolutely. And building a visitor centre is one way of ensuring that these places do survive intact, and are actually protected, and in the long run, it's up to us to make sure that this happens.
Bob, Carrie, thanks for sharing your views with us.
Now listen again, then read the text below. You will notice that some ideas coincide and some differ. Answer the following questions by choosing A, if the idea is expressed in both materials, B, if it can be found only in the reading text, C, if it can be found only in the audio recording, and D, if neither of the materials expresses the idea.
Good afternoon. There's been a lot of discussion recently about what lies in store in terms of the preservation of old buildings and monuments. Today, we welcome to the studio two conservationists, Bob Smith and Carrie Westwood, who are both involved in looking after places like these. Bob, what do you think is the best way of going about the preservation of our heritage buildings so that they don't suffer unduly from the rising numbers of tourists visiting them?
Well, one of the ways is to build a visitor centre, and there are certainly quite a few of these in the pipeline at the moment. Architects seem to enjoy the challenge they represent. I suppose a good example of the kind of thing I'm talking about is the architectural design for the tourist centre for one of Britain's most prestigious ancient monuments, Stonehenge, which is a collection of very old, prehistoric standing stones. As you can imagine, this particular development didn't have too many problems getting financial backing, and it seems to have been well received. But the debate over what exactly these visitor centres should offer people thunders on. And most people start to ask themselves, who is it for? How accessible should it be? Will it simply encourage even more visitors, and so on?
Carrie?
Indeed. Personally, I feel we should do something quite dramatic, like forget the whole thing and close the existing visitor facilities at this site and monuments like it, and remove references to anything famous on the site, like the standing stones. Then it will be more like a similar monument at Avebury, not far from Stonehenge. There's no huge visitor centre there. People can come and go as they wish. Parking's free, and there are no admission charges either. In other words, they've left the place alone for anyone who happens to come along to discover it for the first time, as it were.
Great plan, Carrie, but totally unrealistic. And Carrie knows that only too well. That's because the tourist industry is an invaluable revenue earner. So there's no way that's ever going to happen in places already inundated with tourists. With sites like these, everyone's well aware from very early on that some kind of money-spinning centre is on the cards. The point is that Stonehenge is one of those sites that just has to be visited, and there's no way you're going to get rid of tourists. Petra in Jordan is another similar site. The Rose Red City is one of the world's most alluring and magical tourist attractions.
It certainly is, and so, of course, is Stonehenge. But apart from being a must for travellers, there are so many other similarities between the two sites. One of the most significant, in my opinion, is that they could both be overwhelmed by visitors if we're not careful. There's a visitor centre at Petra too. The project's been quite controversial, but what they've tried to do, or so I'm told, is make it as unobtrusive as possible. Apparently, it doesn't dominate the entrance to Petra, and it leads the masses of visitors gently in and out of the site without damaging it, which can only be a good thing.
I agree that not allowing the visitors' facilities to take centre stage is important, but what appeals to me most about that particular centre is that it offers visitors not simply basic facilities, but a more in-depth look at an architectural site. If you ask me, too many tourists arrive at a place of interest, pay their sometimes exorbitant entrance fee, then make a dash for the main attractions. They often miss out on the carefully thought-out displays designed to give them an idea of why the place was built, what role it had in history, what kind of people lived there, that kind of thing.
Well, I do hope it succeeds in getting that message across to visitors. But from what I've read, the aim seems to be to maintain the aura of Petra as a lost city, a place to be discovered. I think Stonehenge should be treated like this as well. And all the people I've talked to certainly feel that sites like these should reveal their secrets slowly, so that you never know what's around the corner. If they achieve that in Petra, despite all the publicity, and ensure that the numerous tourists don't damage it, it'll be a resounding success.
Absolutely. And building a visitor centre is one way of ensuring that these places do survive intact, and are actually protected, and in the long run, it's up to us to make sure that this happens.
Bob, Carrie, thanks for sharing your views with us.
This is the end of the listening section.